Public transport bosses are appealing to the government to make it easier for overseas bus drivers to work here in the face of chronic shortages. Hundreds of trips a day are being cancelled as there just aren't enough drivers to fill the shifts, with situations vacant around the Motu. Add to that the news a number of train services in Auckland will be shut down over several years for maintenance, meaning replacement buses and yet more pressure on the system. A collective of regional transport authorities has written to the Transport Minister urging him to review immigration settings to help solve the problem. And Michael Wood joins us now. Kia ora, Minister.
Good afternoon, Lisa.
Do you think we do need overseas drivers to help plug some of these gaps?
Oh, look, I think that can certainly be a part of the solution. But at the same time, we need to make sure that we're not losing people out the back end because of the pay and the condition for bus drivers is so poor, which has been the underlying problem for many years. And that's the immediate issue that I'm working on now.
Okay, so if that is part of the solution, immigration, what can you do to make it easier for overseas bus drivers to come here and work?
Well, the first issue that we have, as I said before, is the pay and conditions being lower than they need to be. If we can make sure that pay and conditions for bus drivers are at least at the level of the median wage, then there's a very clear pathway for employers to be able to bring in bus drivers to supplement our domestic workforce. So I'm working with the $61 million that the government allocated the budget this year to improve driver terms and conditions. That will help to retain existing drivers. It'll make it more attractive to get new drivers in, and it will also help to open up that pathway for migrant workers as well.
And some of those agencies that wrote to you have already increased wages, right? But there are still hundreds of jobs that are vacant. So why aren't bus drivers on your recently announced green list for the fast track to residency? Could you put them on it?
Well, the accredited employer work visa and the green list are generally speaking based on that median wage or above requirement. So while wages have been below that level, they would not be applicable to that particular category. That's why what I'm saying is that one of the foundational things we can do is to make sure that pay and conditions are where they need to be. That opens up both the domestic and the migrant workforce pathways.
But that's chicken and egg, isn't it, Minister? If you put them on the list, then they'd have to pay the median wage in order to bring them in.
Well, they have to pay that in the first place. And the issue that we've had is that the funding hasn't been in place across central government, local government and operators to support those wage levels. And it couldn't very well be the case that operators could bring in overseas workers at that higher rate than the domestic workers. So we've been working very hard over the last few months. I've gotten operators and councils and unions around the table to try and be working on that issue. And that's something that I expect to have announcements on fairly soon about the progress we've made there.
When's fairly soon?
Oh, look, hopefully within a matter of weeks we can look to confirm the pathway forward there. And this really is the fundamental issue. We could bring in migrant workers, and indeed that will be part of the solution. But if we then keep losing other domestic workers out the back end, we'll be no better off.
And I do understand that. But if you are saying and accepting that migrant workers are part of the solution, do you plan to do anything with the immigration settings to make it easier for these people to come here and even have a path to residency, bus drivers?
Yeah. What I've indicated to regional council chairs who have approached me about this issue is the first thing we need to collectively do is to make sure the pay and conditions are right. And I'm open-minded about what additional immigration settings could help in this situation. But as I say, you've got to get pay and conditions right in the first place. There's been a race to the bottom in the sector for 20 years now. That's why we've got this problem. That's why we're reforming the public transport operating model that was put in by the previous government that drove pay and conditions down. And that's why we're putting $60 million on the table to try and fix the problem.
Okay, so I'm wondering what you think of this news that the Auckland commuter rail track closures, you know, could roll on for years for maintenance. I mean, how concerned are you about the capacity for replacement buses in a smooth transition when you've got this chronic driver shortage?
Well, look, I'm a regular public transport user up here in Auckland, so I appreciate the frustration people feel about those disruptions. Again, what we have is a legacy of underinvestment in the system, and that's what's being addressed here. We have to make sure that our rail network is safe, that there aren't going to be disruptions in the future. Some of these tracks, the ballast was put down back in the 1870s.
And so no one's denying the need for the maintenance, Minister. Nobody's denying the need for the maintenance. What the question is whether that is being handled as best as it can be. And I'm wondering, have you sought any reassurances about the alternatives that are going to be offered up for people? Because you are desperate to get people out of their cars, and a hiccup like this potentially will send them straight back to their vehicles.
Yes, I have sought assurances from both Kiwi Rail and Auckland Transport. And there are two important points here. The first is that the work will be done in sections. So it's not as if the rail network will in its entirety be closed for all of the period that's been talked about. It will be done section by section so that most parts of the network continue to operate at any one time. And then when that first section is done, they'll move on to the next section. So that will minimise the disruption. Secondly, Auckland Transport and KiwiRail have been working on the public transport replacement services. It is extremely important that they plan those well and have adequate capacity. Thirdly, the clear message I've sent to both KiwiRail and AT is, I understand this work has to be done. It is some pain to get some gain, but once it's done, we need to give Auckland commuters a breather so that their rail network can operate without interruptions for a decent period of time.
Appreciate your time this evening, Minister. That's Michael Wood.